And now, the man with the plan, the host with the most, the rebel with a cause, the only commentator in the history of cyber radio to actually kill a liberal just by sneering at him.
Good evening, my friends. You are listening to the sixth ever edition of If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. I am Doug Hagen. I am your host for this show, this excursion into driving liberals out of their flipping minds. And that website you're at right now, listening, chimpsytalk.com, bookmark it, pass it on to your friends, pass it on to your family, force your children to listen. And if you have a liberal friend, make sure to get them to listen. Trick them, drug them, I don't care what you do, but get them to listen to this show and all the other shows here on Chimpsy Radio, because, my friends, we need to cure them of the liberal leftist maladies that have so beset them and set them back and made them so bitter and angry and anti-American in their attitudes. This is their guiding light out of the doldrums of liberalism, my friends. Now, you know me from the dailygator.wordpress.com, the Daily Gator blog. I do podcasts there every day. I do blogging every day. And Edward Daly, the brilliant, brilliant conservative genius that introduces me every week and that you hear all over Chimpsy Radio, he's my blogging partner there. And my friends, if I sound like I'm in a really good mood, I am. It's July 12th. I am less than 2 months from a two-week vacation in Colorado, my friends. Yes, I'm a very happy man. It's put me in the Rocky Mountains hiking in early September, and I'm a happy, happy guy. Because there's no more beautiful place on earth than Rocky Mountain National Park. Now, I'm not going to be in a good mood very long, I've got to be honest, because I am fixing to get seriously pissed. In fact, I already am. And if you want to know why I'm so pissed, I am so tired of watching our freedoms be stripped away by the nanny state slowly but surely, piece by piece, bit by bit, like that slow little snowball that begins to roll downhill and gets bigger and bigger. You know, it's kind of like a chicken. If you pluck a chicken, you feather by feather, and at first you don't really notice, but then you begin to see that it's hideous. What happens when you pluck a chicken? Until you fry it, of course. I had to upset some animal rights activists there. But what will happen to us if we do not get a handle on the nanny state, my friends? We will not be plucked like the chicken, but we will be something that happens to rhyme with plucked. I'm not going to say the word, but you can use your imagination. I want to start off with a story that my blogging partner, Ed Daly, posted today on the Daily Gator. Actually, back on Friday it was. And this one is a very irking story, my friends. It comes from Wheat Ridge, Colorado. Listen to this. Admitted thieves are going free while an elderly Wheat Ridge man is facing the possibility of spending the rest of his life behind bars. All he says for trying to defend his property and his life. 82-year-old Robert Wallace said that back in February he looked out his window, saw two men hooking his flatbed trailer up to their pickup. He yelled at them to stop. Apparently, he went outside, tried to stop them, and he says they almost ran him over. They sped away, stealing his trailer, and he told police that he fired two shots at that pickup truck. Apparently, at 82 years old, Robert Wallace is a fairly good shot, because minutes later, police say 32-year-old Damasio Torres dropped 28-year-old Alvaro Cardona off at a hospital emergency room with a gunshot wound to his face. Now, Torres didn't stay around to talk to police, but they caught him later, and according to court documents, he confessed, he admitted it, he owned up that they, yes, had stolen this man's flatbed trailer. Now, Wallace, again, I will remind you, told police that they almost ran me over. Now, if you remember a few shows ago, it might have been my first show here on Chimpsy's Radio, I told you a story about a man in England. This man had been robbed several times. He woke up in the middle of the night, three armed men in his home. He took his shotgun, he fired, he killed one of the intruders, he wounded another. And guess who got punished the harshest of all these men? The homeowner got a harsher penalty, longer jail sentence in jolly old England, where a man's home is supposed to be his castle, than either of the armed thugs that survived. I warned you at that time that that kind of thing would come to America eventually. Welcome to one day. You have, I don't know what this DA is thinking, but the Jefferson County DA's office has said that neither Torres nor Cardona, who, by the way, are in the country, can you fill in the blank there, kids, illegally, have not been charged with anything. However, there is a bad guy here, according to Jefferson County DA's office. It's Wallace, 82-year-old homeowner, facing 12 felony counts, including 4 counts of attempted first-degree murder. I guess that's twice for each shot he fired at these thugs in the truck. If convicted, he would could spend the rest of his life behind bars. So you're going to ignore the fact that illegal aliens are here committing crimes. You're going to let them walk scot-free, but you're going to punish a homeowner for defending his property. What the hell's wrong with this country? You want to know why I'm so pissed, why I'm so jealous and angry and, you know, frightful that our liberties are being stripped away? Do you need more evidence than this? A homeowner defending his home is charged while the criminals he's defending it against go scot-free? You want to talk about maddening, my friends? You want to talk about insanity? There's more, though. Let's go from Colorado to New York, Manhattan and the Bronx specifically, where the nanny state is in full bloom, full green bloom. 9 stores, my friends, in Manhattan and the Bronx have been hit with $200 fines. No, why would a business be fined $200 in Manhattan or the Bronx, you ask? Well, this is new freaking liberal York, so let's look at this. Seems they're not green enough. You see, the fines are for leaving their doors open on hot days in the hope that the cool air escaping would lure in customers. Now, last year only warnings were given out, but this law passed in 2008 is starting to show its teeth. The city's Department of Consumer Affairs, I bet New York really needs the Department of Consumer Affairs, has inspected 105 stores. 70 were in compliance, 26 were issued warnings, and 9 that had been warned last year were fined. Fined, according to Kay Sarlin, a department spokeswoman and apparently bottom-feeding liberal as well. The fine start at $200 and go up to $400 for any infractions in the following 18 months. So basically, you've got the city of New York telling businesses when they can have their doors open, when they can prop them open, when they must close them. What's next? How much is the nanny state going to take from you, my friends? How far are they going to go? How far are we going to allow them to go? Before we say, what's that old movie? I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, that line. When do we become that person? And say, no more. No more. It's enough. It's none of the city's business. How does this harm anybody? These stores are paying their electric bills. If they weren't, their lights would be shut off. If they're paying their electric bills, what the hell business is it of the city? Well, I know they're trying to be politically correct and save the environment from what? Global warming? That isn't even happening? Nanny statism, my friends. It's absolutely sucking the life out of this country. These are businesses, legitimate businesses. In this horrific economic times, we're going to sock businesses, kick them in the nuts, because they're not politically correct about closing or opening their doors when their air conditioning is on. Seriously. That's where we're going in this country? Oh, there's more, though, my friends. And there's a little good news, by the way. I did a podcast a few days ago, a couple weeks ago it was, I guess, about the nanny staters attempting to enforcement McDonald's at the threat of lawsuits to stop giving away toys in their evil, evil, evil Happy Meals that are threatening our children's very existence. Well, the McDonald's CEO, Joel Skinner, has done something remarkable that I wish more CEOs would do in the face of this type of aggressive lawsuit mania. He's basically told these nanny staters to take a hike, take a leap at a rolling donut, take a long walk off a short pier. They're not going to stop marketing toys and Happy Meals. They're not going to do something that hurts their business. In other words, they're going to run their business as they see fit, without government intrusion or interference or lawsuits from nanny staters who want to control every aspect of our lives and want to play parents instead of parents being parents. Amen, Joel Skinner. Thank you very much for having the guts, the spine, the, dare I say it, cojones, balls, to say, go screw yourself. Okay, nanny staters, take a hike. I don't need you running my business. Thank you, Joel Skinner, for that. There's more, my friends. Look to San Francisco. San Francisco, whatever you want to call it. Perhaps the most liberal city in the United States. Here it is, my friends. Gavin Newsom, who is the mayor of San Francisco, has decided he's going to take a step to fight obesity. He's going to ban, in fact he has by executive order, banned all soda machines on city property in San Francisco, unless they sell diet sodas, and there are some limitations on them. So basically the mayor's trying to tell people what they can and can't purchase from a vending machine on city property. Again, there's the nanny state for you. You're too stupid to make up your own mind. You're too stupid to do what's good for you. You're too stupid to do what we think's right for you. So you know what we're going to do? Mr. and Mr. San Francisco resident, we're going to be your mommy and your daddy. We're going to wipe your tushy. We're going to tuck you in at night. We're going to tell you what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, what to drink, what you can't drink. And yes, we're even going to tell you what time to go to bed maybe. And well, we'll see if you can see that R-rated movie. What's next in the city of San Francisco? Seriously. Who the hell does this idiot Gavin Newsom think he is? One of the things he tried to do before was to ban the evil of bottled water. Now, bottled water isn't evil. It's the evil, evil, evil plastic bottles they come in. And again, remember, San Francisco's in California, and they've tried to ban what? No, not ban. They've tried to charge people extra for plastic bags in grocery stores or paper bags, either one. I guess in California grocery stores now, it's what? It's paper, plastic, or bend over for Big Brother. You see, my friends, again, the nanny state. It's all about penalizing normal behavior. Everything that's up, they want to make down. Everything that's right, they want to make left. Everything that's good, they want to make bad. Everything that's normal, they want to make abnormal. I told you this was coming. Dozens of people have been telling you. It's here. It just continues to grow. And it's going to until we put a stop to it. There's more, my friends. Isn't there always more with these people? Remember that we soon will be ravaged by Obamacare. It doesn't kick in fully till 2014. But there's something you want to pay attention to. White Castle, IHOP, International House of Pancakes, and some other businesses may be in trouble because of Obamacare. Listen to this story. The Columbus-based family restaurant chain, White Castle I'm talking about here, known for serving their small square hamburgers called sliders, is claiming a single provision in the Obamacare health bill will eat up roughly 55% of its yearly net income after the year 2014. Apparently 2014 looks like the year America will officially cease to be. Starting that year, the bill levies a, listen closely, $3,000 per employee penalty on companies whose workers pay more than 9.5% of household income in premiums for company-provided insurance. In other words, if your company provides insurance, well, you've got a problem. They've got to provide it under Obamacare, that's good. But if you pay too much for your premiums, well, they're going to punish your company. Of course, what will your company do? What will a company do if they're getting hit with these huge fines? They would probably drop the health care for their employees. Brilliant! So you'll have even more people without insurance. Who are these morons that wrote Obamacare? No one knows, still no one knows what's in the bill. Hell, we'll probably be finding out for decades what's in it. Every time we turn around, it's going to be biting us in the ass on some other front or another. Now, White Castle, which currently provides insurance to all its full-time workers, and listen closely, and picks up 70 to 89% of the premium costs, believes it will likely end up paying those penalties. The financial hit will make it hard for the company to maintain all of its 421 restaurants, let alone open new locations or create new jobs. And White Castle, by the way, employs more than 10,000 people nationwide. So you're going to have more jobs lost, more health insurance lost, because the nanny statist in Congress, they have decided that if a company doesn't pay, they don't just have to provide you access to health insurance and save you a lot of money, by the way. But if they don't do it the way the Democrats want, then they're going to have to be financially punished. Again, using taxes as a punishment or a reward. Punishing people with taxes. Why am I so angry about punitive confiscatory tax codes? That's why. Oh, and by the way, we're going to get to taxes in a minute in a big way to wrap this thing up. There's something else you need to know about, though. The Wall Street Journal's John Fund has described a Democrat plan to, how should I put this? To pass a universal voter registration bill. Now, Congress is running out of time before the November 2010 elections when they get their asses handed to them. And basically, they understand they're going to lose the House. That's what they believe, and they're going to lose a large percentage of their majority in the Senate. So they're not real happy, and they're looking to pass as much of their socialist Marxist agenda as they can and force it down our throats. Now, back in January, Chuck Schumer and Barney Frank will propose universal voter registration. Now, what the hell is that exactly? It means all of the state laws and elections will be overridden by a federal mandate. The feds then will tell the states, take everyone on every list of welfare that you have, everyone on every list of unemployment you have, take everyone on every list of property owners, take everyone on every list of driver license holders, and register them to vote regardless of whether they want to be registered or not. So if you can force people to register to vote, and I urge people to vote and register, not a problem there, but for the government to mandate that you vote, I mean, if they can mandate that you buy health insurance, which you're trying to do, they can mandate how much your employer will pay of your premium. If they can mandate that you register to vote, whether you want to or not, then what the hell is to stop them from trying to force you to vote? And what would be the next step after forcing you to vote? Let me see, force you to register to vote, force you to vote, force you to vote the way they want you to. Why not? It's the natural evolution of the process, isn't it? And while we're on the subject of voting, another very radical thing the left will try to pass probably before the November elections, as soon as they possibly can, is something called card check. What is card check? Well, see, right now unions have, when their members vote on whatever they vote on, it's anonymous, as voting should be. The union bosses, the thugs, don't want those to be anonymous. They want it to be known. They want to be able to look and see how every member voted. Now, that seems very un-American to you, doesn't it? Seems idiotic, anti-American, seems almost communistic and thuggish. You're right, it is. I mean, hey, union bosses are for it. It's got to be communistic. It's communistic and thuggish because they're communistic and thuggish. That's another thing the Democrats want to do. So if they're going to to make your vote public if you're in a union. Why not make it public if you're just Joe Blow out there? And why not force you to vote? And why in hell not? Wouldn't they tell you to vote this way or that way? I mean, they're going to tell you what kind of health insurance to have. They're going to tell you all kind of other things, how much energy you can use. Why not? It's just the natural evolution of communism, my friends. Welcome to the communist state of America. Coming soon to a third world America near you. There's more, though, my friends. There's tax increases. That's right. Go hide your wallet. Go bury it in the backyard right now. Bury it so deep Fido can't find it. But bet your ass the IRS will. Tax increases in January 2011 will be the largest in history. Now, largest in history. We've had some big tax increases before. These will be the largest in history. That capital gains tax, it's currently 15%. It's going to go up to 20%. Now, remember, if you will, back to the 2008 Democrat Party debates. Sam Donaldson of ABC was moderating one of these debates, and he asked Barack Obama a very important question. He asked him, he said, look, you've said that you want to raise capital gains tax. And he said something very crucial. He asked a very crucial question. He gave Obama some information. He said, historically, every time the capital gains tax rate has been reduced, the revenues from that tax have gone up. Conversely, when the rate has been increased, the revenues have declined. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of the great undeniable truths of life, according to me, is this. Taxes have one legitimate purpose, that is to raise revenue. And if you've got a tax that has one purpose, to raise revenue, and if by cutting the rate historically you increase the revenue, why would you ever increase the rate when that always decreases the revenue? Remember Obama's answer. Remember he said he wanted to be fair. He wanted the dividends from capital gains to be fair. In other words, he wanted to use capital gains tax to punish people, to redistribute wealth, to cap what people could make, to punish them for making more. And what did he say not too long ago? What did he say? What were those words? Oh, yes, I remember now. It was, at a certain point, you've made enough money. Tell me this guy's not a Marxist. Tell me he's not into redistributing wealth and punishing success. Tell me he's not the most anti-business president this country may have ever had. Oh, but there's more, my friends. It's not just capital gains tax. How about the estate tax? Now, the estate tax is an extremely high tax rate. I think at one time it was 55%. If you're rich, if you're wealthy, I mean really wealthy, and you die, you pass on, you cease to exist, well, you leave that property, your estate, your funds, your money, your holdings to your children or whoever it is. Well, currently, that is something that the government doesn't tax. In other words, because you've already paid taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes on your wealth, they're not going to bend your children over a table and without the benefit of Vaseline, or I guess would be Obamaline now, they're not going to, you know, screw you over. But Obama wants to bring the wonder of the estate tax back. Aren't you happy, comrades? Because let's face it, since someone has already paid taxes on top of taxes on property and wealth, they're going to get you for more than half of it. Doesn't seem fair, does it? No, of course it's not fair. It's ludicrous, it's asinine, it's anti-American. It is the height of folly. Yet, the Democrats, my friends, are intent on bringing this beast back. So think. You work your whole life. You amass a small fortune. Maybe it's $50 million. You're going to pass it on to your two children. They will get $25 million apiece. But the government, the all-caring, caring, sympathetic Democrats, want to take more than half of that $50 million and do who knows what with. Maybe buy Nancy Pelosi more Botox or buy Barney Frank some gay hookers. Who knows? Maybe they're going to buy more booze and pour on Ted Kennedy's grave. I don't know what these evil people are going to do, but I do know They want to screw everyone who succeeds in America, except themselves, of course. Oh, there's more, though. Oh, yes. Guess what, folks? You're thinking, oh, this is just for rich people. It won't hit me. I don't make that much money. Well, if you're paying 10% of your income in taxes right now, guess what, folks? You're going to be paying 15% come January 2011. That's a 50% increase, by the way. I know this because I took math and did not go to public school, so I can actually figure that math out. I didn't go to a government-run school. So think about it. If you're making, what, $30,000 or $40,000 a year, you're going to pay $4,000 in taxes. No, not anymore, my friend. You're going to pay $6,000 in taxes. And I'm sure that extra $2,000 won't hurt you at all. It won't limit you from taking vacations or saving or you know, buying a new car. It won't hurt you at all. Of course not. You don't need the money. The government needs it. Come on. Who do you think you are? Where do you think you're, America? You think you're a person that is a free man or woman? No. This is the Obama nation, my friends. Oh, that child tax credit. Currently, it's $1,000 per child. $500 per child. They're cutting that sucker in half. Business taxes are going to go up higher than they've ever been. What did I say a few minutes ago? Didn't I say Obama was the most anti-business president this country has ever had? Well, guess what? Those taxes are going up, my friends. Those taxes, they are going up on businesses because we've got to punish success. That's the leftist way. That's the leftist mantra. The successful are bad. Capitalism is bad. Free enterprise is bad. Keeping more of what you make is bad. Liberty's bad. The more money you make, the more money you keep, the more control you have. It's the same with owning a gun. We talked about a man in Colorado in trouble for defending his property with a gun. Who is he? You know, I am a big fan of Dean Koontz, who's a libertarian, by the way. And if you read his books, you get a very strong message of someone who's pro-life, against something eugenics, and very concerned about the evils of communism and fascism and the leftist state and big government. And there's a book called Dark Rivers of the Heart. And it's one of his best books. But in Dark Rivers of the Heart, there's a character, the evil character is a government agent from some manufactured government agency that doesn't exist, as far as we know. But this man goes around eliminating people who are bad examples. And he eliminates people that do not take government help, do not take government dole-outs. One of his victims is a Vietnam vet who lost his legs in the Vietnam War, but he's created a fortune for himself by doing something he loved. And this man serves as a bad example because he shows others that they may not need the government. They may not need government assistance, so he has to be eliminated. He's a bad example. He shows others that through hard work and dedication, and you can actually make it yourself without government assistance. So this evil character sets out to eliminate him. My friends, this is a pretty scary time to be American. I want to cover one more thing real quickly before I close here. My time is running short. But I want to get into this new Black Panther deal. Eric Holder dismissing the charges, or looking the other way, if you want to put it that way, at this November 2008 case in Philadelphia where King Samir Shabazz and some other douchebag member of the new Black Panther Party, the Black Klan, I call them, were intimidating voters and attempting to, well, dissuade Whitey from voting, basically. They were caught on it. The Bush Justice Department charged them with voter intimidation. And the only thing the Obama team did, Justice Department of Eric Holder, was to basically tell this King Samir Shabazz that he couldn't go back to any polling place until 2012. The next presidential election. You can go intimidate Whitey then, but until then, you leave Whitey alone, okay? Leave the white guys alone. Okay, Black Power, brother, but I got your back, Mr. Holder. But now, Malik Sulu Shabazz, who is the head douchebag of the douchebags of the new Black Panthers, the black racist bottom-feeding scumbags that they are, has been caught on tape basically admitting that Samir Shabazz was intimidating voters, and he welcomes him in the new Black Panthers. He's always welcome here, he says. And Samir Shabazz, again, I blogged about this a couple days ago, has been caught. It was a National Geographic piece, in fact, with a microphone on the streets of Philadelphia, saying, castigating a black man for walking by with a black woman. I don't know if they're dating or not. But castigating this black man for being with a white woman, calling white women whores and prostitutes and dirty, and saying, if you want to be free, you got to kill some crackers. You got to kill some of the babies. Well, this is a kind of racist filth that Team Obama is protecting, my friends. And look, imagine if you had a president. Imagine if you had a president who did this with the Klan. I wouldn't feel really comfortable with a president that would say, dismiss and leave the Klan alone, basically. Let them intimidate black people. No, the Klan is a racist, bottom-feeding organization. The clueless klutz Klans, the cowards and dunce caps. And you know what? The Nation of Islam and the new Black Panthers, they're no better. In fact, other than dressing a little sharper than the Klan, there is no difference. I mean, let's face it, the new Black Panthers, they probably shop at Brooks Brothers or something, and the Klan, they shop at JCPenney's white sales. So give them the advantage in fashion sense, but basically they're no different than the Klan. They're a hate group. They're hate mongers. They're evil, 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 evil people. And they are violent. Recently, Shabazz did another interview, and he was asked basically to refute and repudiate the remarks about killing white babies. And he wouldn't do it. He said he would turn his anger in a different direction, maybe at the police. So it's okay to kill white policemen, but not white babies, according to Malik Zulu Shabazz, who's an attorney and speaks like an attorney. He's a very slimy character. He's the kind of guy you would not want to touch. A, he would sue you because he's a coward. But two, you might catch some of the vile sickness that emits from his pores. He's just a slimy, sleazebag kind of character, and he's a racist, and his followers are. And basically he kind of flirts with admitting that they're a violent organization. He joked about the King Samir Shabazz, who had a nightstick at the Philadelphia polling place. He jokes about, oh, we don't carry batons, because someone had called it a baton. We carry nightsticks. You see, we don't hit you in the head with a baton, cracker. We hit you with a baseball batter, or this or that, but we don't hit you with a baton. And Eric Holder and the Obama Justice Department, no big deal, apparently. So you want to allow intimidation of voters, certain voters, conservative voters. You want to allow white voters to be intimidated. And by the way, someone will listen to this on the left and go, you racist, you're a racist. Racist, 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 racist. Give me the deck of race cards. I want to hit this Doug Hagan in the head with a race card because he's a racist. Because he's actually talking about the new Black Panthers like they're racist. Well, they are racist. And the Eric Holder Justice Department apparently is racist. They're doing this for a reason. Either it's racially driven or ideologically driven. Or both. And President Obama is his boss. And you know what, folks? If you go to work and you do something wrong and your boss looks the other way, guess what? It's your boss's damn fault. So President Obama, what are you doing? Are you cool with voter intimidation? Is that part of hope and change? Is it? Apparently so. Is card check, where you don't let union people vote anonymously? Is forcing people to register to vote, registering them against their will? And again, I'll ask, if you're going to force them to register, why not force them to vote? And if you're going to force them to vote, why the hell don't you tell them how to vote, who to vote for? That's how they did it in the good old Soviet Union. And hey, we know that you've taken a lot of ideas from Karl Marx, Mr. President. So maybe this is just another one. another little step down Marxist lane. Think about it, my friends. That's it for me. I'm still pissed off, but I feel a little better. It's good to get it off your chest. Remember, ChimpsyTalk.com, my friends. Check out all the shows. Check out all the shows or else. I'll send Edward Daly to your house, and he will make fun of your dog until your cat cries. And Ed can make a cat cry by making fun of a dog. Don't think he can't. My friends, you have a very good week. I'll see you next week. Thank you again for your patronage of Chimpsy Talk, and thank you for listening to me flap my gums. And hopefully I've done something to fire you up and get you motivated to take your country back from the forces of Marxism that are creeping up on it slowly but surely, piece by piece, bit by bit. Good night. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week. Remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. And oh, yes, my friends, less than 2 months away. Not only is my vacation less than 2 months away, but less than 2 months away, the greatness of college football. So that means two words. Go Gators. Good night.